I'd like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Publics Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Leva?
Here.
Joel?
Here.
McGuire?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Okay, first up, we have our minutes of the meeting of May 1st.
Move the minutes of May 1st, regular minutes of May 1st.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on these minutes?
I have a couple of things.
Sure.
On page 5, the third paragraph down, Christine, they summarized, it's not 150,000, it's 150 million. That number. And then on page 6, I don't want to speak, I don't really call, the very last paragraph was Councilman Higgins. I don't exactly recall exactly what you said, but when the third sentence where it says, the borough could have only spent $1 million over 5 years. Is that what you said? That doesn't make sense, because we can spend $1 million in 1 month.
Right, yeah. No.
Oh, okay, so I don't know what you said, but that to me didn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It was when he said that we've spent $150 million over a five-year period, when I told him that, you know, in 2010, we took in less than $20 million. So that would have meant that we would have had to spend $50 million over 5 years.
Okay, so what do I have?
You have 1 million,
okay.
Or what is it? You have a million over 5 years.
So it should be 50.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then just, I know they're minutes, but on the council remarks, under my remarks, if you could just add where, you know, where it says you noted that I was happy, but after that, if you could just add, you know, I had also stipulated that, you know, revenues should have been included, and that I was not happy that there were no recommendations, and that, you know, at least council should be able to ask further questions, especially those members that were missing, like Councilman Jewell and Councilman Boyle.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Anyone else? Roll call, please.
Jewell?
Abstain.
Torres?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Okay, correspondence.
Take a motion to receive and file.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on our correspondence?
Yeah.
Okay.
Item number 2.
Okay.
That would be the Washington Township in regards to the police shared services. They're telling us through an email that we're going to have to pay to get these numbers.
That's correct.
That's their request. That
okay.
Right.
We'll come back and discuss this.
Okay.
I mean, we'll receive and file if anybody has anything else they want to say, but I would like to discuss this.
Okay. Anybody have anything else on this?
No. Just that. I mean, the information from the CFO was here, so
it is here.
I need to digest it.
Yeah, you can review it.
And then I see she'll be there at the 19th
meeting.
She will. So.
Correct.
You want to discuss it further now, Mr. Higgins, or later?
That's fine. I mean, if you want to discuss it now,
sure,
before we... All right, listen. Did they give us any numbers, what it is that we're going to have to pay for? And was this forwarded to our attorney?
It was for our attorney. No, I don't have any costs associated with it. I don't know how council wants to proceed. Do you want to sit down with the shared services committees and discuss it? Or
well, the contract says that we're entitled to information.
That's correct.
We're asking for information and they're refusing to do it. So does that void the contract? What course of action did our council give us?
Oprah document.
We're supposed to go for them?
Wait a second. We have a contract with them. Why would we have to Oprah these numbers. When in the contract it says that they are to provide us with additional information that we would like to say. I'm just venting.
I know. In my opinion of contract, and I can't speak for the township, I think of their opinion that this is too much work for them to provide us, and the contract states that the chief of police will provide us the information as it relates to police activities.
Okay, well, I would like to make a comment on the record. I particularly don't care if that's too much work for them to provide for us. The contract stipulates this. I would make a recommendation. I will make a motion that we forward this on to have the attorney review this again and find out if that, to get a written opinion from the attorney as to what course of action we have. My opinion is they're violating the contract.
Before we take that motion, we'll clear the other one.
Yes, but I'm going to make that motion.
Okay.
This has gone on far too long, since November.
It has. In their memo, they also state that they would like to sit down and discuss it between the two committees. Is this something that you want to pursue?
I want the numbers first.
Okay.
We have to have information to have a dialogue with the committee. You know, we would be going into it blind.
We'd be able to digest something before we actually
I want to see the numbers before we sit down. That's just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you that Natasha and I did prepare the analysis that was forwarded to council tonight, and a copy is in your mailboxes. Our analysis of the 5 years. As I said, that we would provide.
Okay. So, this is ridiculous.
Well, how did you do it without the actual from the police?
Because their assumption. Council wants to know if we're saving money.
Right.
So we assumed what our cost was.
Okay. You forecast it out.
Right.
Okay.
5 years.
But needless to say, that may or may not be accurate.
So the only year you were missing
you
was 2010.
Yeah.
You have 2010 actuals. The only year you're missing was 2010. You have 2011 and part of 2009. You had more than half of 2009 actuals because we had the police.
Correct. Test. That's correct.
Okay. So it's only a year and a couple of months that they have to provide to
right.
The point that I make to that, though, is why do they have a 2009 and not 2010?
No, they didn't give us 2009. We have... Yeah, so that's why we have most of 2009, because
right.
They were here.
Right. Police were still here in 2009, most of the year.
I just don't understand how they can't have the actuals themselves for their own budgeting and forecasting, and how do they do their budget every year if they don't know what they spent the year before? How do they not have those
Thank
numbers?
You.
And they even admitted they had a problem, or they think they're coming to a shortfall, so, you know,
they're coming to a shortfall because they've made a different negotiation with Oxford.
Right. Sorry.
So that's pretty much why their forecasts are off.
So
they're looking to the borough to pay, for the township's shortfall. So, go ahead.
In the last paragraph of that email, where they're saying that to set up the meeting, would it behoove the committee though to meet? Maybe they're missing something. Like to meet. I know you want the numbers to meet, but to meet so they understand what we're requesting and. You know, that is part of the contract that we can request that information.
We've asked for this since November of last year.
I understand what we're asking.
They
yeah.
completely understand that because they're saying it's too much work
mm-hmm.
and that we would have to get it from their order.
Yeah.
Don't they have a CFO?
A brand new CFO with that.
But it's a brand new one. Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, the thing is, we did ask since last November. There's, to me, it's suspicious. Why won't they just provide the information that we request? I mean, you know, there's something fishy going on there, my opinion.
Well, we have a motion on the floor right now, so.
Hi, so we
I'll second that motion.
No, the motion is to receive the file and respond to it.
All right, but getting back to it, my response to meeting with them is no. Not until we get what we want. That's going in unprepared.
Right.
And then holding all the cards.
Mm-hmm.
No. That would be my recommendation.
Agreed.
Any other discussion on this? All in favor of receiving and filing?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Okay, I would like to make a motion, Mr. Mayor, to have our attorney review the contract and give, provide the council with a written opinion prior to our next council meeting as to the remedies that the council has in violation, if they are in violation of the contract.
Remedies or options, do you think would be better?
Options. Remedies. Options, same, I don't care.
Remedy slash options, I'll say.
Yeah, how's that?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, is there any discussion on Mr. Higgins' motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that brings us to our council appearance. Sinelli Iron?
Yes.
Please.
Sure.
My name is Rick Tenorelli. I'm from Sinelli Iron and Metal of Sea Caucus, New Jersey. We are buyers of any kind of ferrous and non-ferrous scrap. We serve a lot of municipalities throughout the state. We have six counties that we serve. And we offer numerous ways of collecting your scrap. We don't go out and collect it in the street, but you can bring it to us, or we can put a container in your yard. I have brochures for each one of you, if you'd like to look at it.
I believe we all have
them already.
Oh, you have them?
Yes, sir.
That's great.
Mr. Higgins was kind enough to pick up one for everybody at the Lee Convention.
Oh, okay. Did you visit our booth at the...
Yes, I did.
Okay. Okay, so then you know me. I pitched it all in the aisle, I guess. You know? But, must have worked. Anything that you may need from me, I'll leave you my card, unless you've already got it. Are you Christine?
I am.
Okay. I spoke to you on the phone.
Yes.
I'm ready to answer any questions you may have. But, you know, the price has gone down in steel, but it's that way. It's cyclical. It goes up, it goes down. We've been up for a long time. Just started to take a little bit of a crash with the Chinese market, which kind of dictates what goes on, and we're going along with it.
Okay. Mr. Torres has some questions?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if you remember me. I was also down at the league, and
okay.
I guess it was your assistant. I don't think I met you, but
okay.
I was kind of
hard to
impressed
miss.
By your recycling situation. Now, it's totally free to the municipality. Is that correct?
It's, pardon me?
Totally free to the municipality.
If you were to bring it to us, if
yeah.
you were delivered to us, we okay. pay you whatever the rate is on the American Metals market that day,
mm-hmm.
less $60. So
okay,
it
so
covers between $200 and $300 a gross ton. Gross ton is 2,240 pounds, and the reason for that is that's what the market goes by. That's what the metal markets go by.
Okay. And the type of metals that you do accept are what?
Total all metals.
All metals.
Ferrous and non-ferrous.
Okay. So that's fine.
And the cost if we don't bring it to you?
It's $300 to have the container picked up and taken, and that's deducted from whatever money that the metal is worth.
Okay. Do you also pick up things that are mixed with metal, or do they have to be broken apart?
Well, if it is...
Say it's wood and metal.
Wood?
Wood and metal, or...
No,
glass and
we
metal.
Don't take any wood.
Okay.
We take strictly metal.
Right.
Any types of metal. If you send a mixed load, if it's aluminum, stainless steel, light iron, it's mixed.
Mm-hmm.
I just had one of my municipalities bring me 35,000 pounds of cast iron.
Wow.
One load, 30-yard container.
So
that's 35,000 pounds.
Nice
he
check.
Was very happy when we paid him.
Very good.
How often do you take it? So if you provide us with whatever it is,
a container? Yep, 30-40-yard container. You call us when you're ready for it to be picked up. We have 32 trucks. We have 600 containers. And we serve the tri-state area.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the nearest drop-off? I know you say Secaucus. We have to drop it off at Secaucus? If
yes.
We're closer?
Okay. No, Secaucus is our newest yard. We have 14 acres.
Okay.
We have two buildings. We have balers, which take the smallest stuff, crunch it up into a cube,
mm-hmm.
and then it's shipped to whatever buyer may have it. That's all done in the office upstairs,
okay.
and they decide who gets it.
And just to tail off on this is Cleve's question, we have that container for 6 months or more. That's okay. As long as we're ready to call you to take it, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, of course, we'd rather have it more often.
Okay.
But, you know,
There's no additional fees for keeping that container any longer?
No, no, no.
Okay.
Nope. No.
Okay. I talked to the, I don't know how to say it. He was a young guy. You know what I mean?
They're all younger than me.
Big guy.
Okay.
Muscular. The way he explained it, and what got me so excited about this, to bring this back to you, the pitch was, it's not going to cost your municipality anything.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I
remember. We did not charge until the price of diesel fuel went through the roof.
Oh, okay. So you started charging now after...
Well, since, at the end of February.
Okay.
When our prices...
Okay.
You know, you put these trucks out every day, 32 trucks. It runs into money. Well, you know that. I don't have to tell you.
Okay. Can you just put it in perspective a little bit? I mean, this $60 is the only fee, right? Is that correct?
So no, that's the
we
bring it.
No.
Yeah.
That's
so say we bring it.
Yeah.
I mean that's can be discussed among us, you know, at another time, because you know we could possibly have our DPW guys take a run down there when it's, you know. So
yeah, sure.
I mean that's something that's, you know, a possibility. We didn't discuss it yet, so that's one of the alternate methods. If it is that, the average, say it's a town-wide situation, they bring it all to one place, and then our guys take it to you, say that they fill a whole container.
Yes.
Approximately how much dollar amount would that be? And then how much, so what would our net be, say?
It depends. With
just
with
on average. Just I know it's an estimate.
With 55 municipalities, it varies.
Right.
Larger towns come in 3 times a week.
Okay.
Some towns come in twice a month, once a month.
Say we come in twice a month.
Twice a month?
Yeah.
You could probably count at this point, excuse me, on about, I'd say probably $700 to $1,200, depending upon what the metal is.
Okay.
Depending upon how much there is.
Right.
If you have a 30-yard container and it's full, it's probably going to weigh around 10,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And for the sake of argument, whatever the price happens to be, we pay you, let's say, $235 a gross ton. So whatever that, you know, works out to be, 10,000 pounds divided by 2240 times whatever that payment is that particular day, that's what you get paid.
Less $60 on it.
No.
Oh.
That would be less than $60.
Yeah, well, that's what
I mean. I'm giving you an example of how it actually is.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. So that's a good perspective. And we have some idea how much money we're going to get.
Another selling point was, I specifically remember the guy saying, yeah, you keep the dumpster, yard, the whatever it is there, that they bring it. But also he said refrigerators and air conditioners can
we
be
take
brought
them.
Up. And they don't have to be...
reclaimed?
They don't.
Reclaim the Freon or whatever refrigerant is in those machines.
You do.
On site.
We just throw it in the dumpster.
That's it.
Okay. So
air conditioners. Some humidifiers, refrigerators, freezers.
Right. Okay, that's good. That was a selling point. Now, if you came out to get it, you said you would charge us $300.
Yes.
And that would be subtracted from whatever it is that...
The amount is for the total of the scrap metal.
Okay. Okay, so...
If you required paperwork to prove that the refrigerant was reclaimed, we provide that to you also.
Do you provide the dumpsters, and then you provide the container for us?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a charge for that if we bring it to you?
No.
You loan it?
You truck it to us.
Right.
Then you get whatever the metal's worth without
the
charge.
Are we trucking it to Secaucus? I missed that.
Yeah, that's where the nearest place is, Secaucus, right?
So then we got our diesel fuel.
So we would have to figure out
our fuel to get there to Secaucus.
It would be...
Do we have the truck that'll hold to take the container?
Well... That's the other question. So, yeah,
if we have to send a truck, a roll-off, here, then we charge you. If you take that container and bring it to us, then you just get what the metal's worth.
But we don't have any...
You don't have a roll-off?
We don't have a roll-off.
Right.
So we could break even bringing you whatever it is that we have. You take the $300, we get the container back again. It's a service that's being provided to the town. That's not costing.
Right. Right. Exactly. And it's to provide a place for the citizens to have a bulk garbage so they don't have to drive up
And your credit for your tonnage.
One of the problems is the term that Mr. Torres used right there with the bulk garbage. This isn't bulk garbage.
Right, that's true.
Which brings up, you know, we've all seen the clothing containers around that have had mattresses and baby carriages and things like that.
It doesn't matter how many times it says clothing only, people still put all their stuff out in front of them.
I was a public works superintendent, I'm retired. So I know whatever your superintendent or your recycling coordinator went through, I went through.
So how do you deal with all that kind of stuff that's, around, assuming that it actually gets into there?
People start dropping that kind of stuff off.
Well, you mean like baby carriages and stuff like that?
It could be any kind of...
Household trash.
Trash.
No, we do not accept the trash.
Somebody puts it in and stuff gets thrown up.
I mean, if we get it and it's taken to the yard and it's dumped in the yard, we've got to deal with it. We're not going to give it back to you to take back.
Right.
You know, I mean, we have to deal with it. We'd rather, like when I was superintendent, I went through all of that. I had 9 containers in our yard. But we would go through it and take out what wasn't metal. And as you probably all know, there's all kinds of things that go in there.
Right, well, that's our problem. Now, we've got nowhere to put it either.
But, you know...
Another question, with refrigerators, the inside are usually plastic. Does that have to be dismantled?
No, put it in one piece. That we'll take care of.
Okay.
In the back where we reclaim everything, they take all that plastic out and that goes aside. And again, that's garbage. That's nothing that's worth anything to us.
What kind of like dumpsters, I'm just envisioning someone, like if it was me personally, how is someone getting the refrigerator into this dumpster? How could they possibly lift it up?
The door.
9 times out of 10 a loader in the DPW. I used to tell people, leave it on the side.
Oh, okay.
Don't even give us the aggravation of trying to lift it over the side of an 8-foot high dumpster.
That's what I'm wondering, what kind of dumpster?
And then we would take our own loader and just put it in. Saves a lot of trouble.
So this one, you can actually...
We would have to do that.
There's a ramp that actually folds down and so they can push it right in.
I mean, if you want to open up the back of the dumpster...
That's what I'm saying.
You could do that.
Yeah, so depending upon how they set it up at the DPW, then if that's where...
Yeah, we could schedule 1 or 2 days a month to have it dropped off. Everybody brings their stuff, it gets loaded in, we call you up and say, we got all this stuff.
Yes, right.
We do it another day and somebody's down there to actually watch the things that are being dropped.
Now, in addition to refrigerators and freezers, washers and dryers and dishwashers you would accept too, right?
Take them. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Fence posts.
They got metal on them too?
Plenty of scrap metal.
They have plenty of metal on them, you know.
No, bring it. We'll take it.
Now, what about automobiles? there's heavy scrap in automobiles, so I have to ask a question. There's also tires on automobiles. There's a lot of plastic. There's foam.
We do not take automobiles.
Okay. That was a good question. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we do not take automobiles, but barbecues.
Somebody else would ask you.
Lawn furniture. You know, we take anything that is made of metal. You know. We used to have a particular week when air conditioning guys would come in with copper and put it in our dumpster. Why? They could just take it to one of our locations and, you know, our non-ferrous place.
What kind of contract is it? Like, is there like a duration on it or, you know, is there a trial period or, you know, like are you committed to doing this?
You want us, if we find that it's not working out, it's too much non-metallic, we'll let you know, or I'll come up and meet with you, and...
Well, even us, if we don't have enough, you know...
Here's the way it was explained to me down there at the convention, was that the dumpster sits until it's full, and we call you.
Yes.
There's no charge for the dumpster sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and it didn't matter how long it was there, there's no charge until there wasn't any charge, since, you know, they come pick it up.
Right.
And, the way the agreement was worked out is that the only thing we're agreeing to is having you as the sole provider of this service.
Okay.
That, you know, there would be no fee incurred for having a dumpster there for 6 months or longer at any length of time. And I was also told that we could say, listen, this isn't working out for us.
You can do that.
Yeah, we're done.
No, you can do that.
So
you can absolutely do that. But I'll tell you what, if you put a metal dumpster in your yard, if you have a recycling yard, watch and see how quick it gets filled up.
Well, listen, this is what I envision. We'd be the only place around.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it would be, you know, we could say, hey, outsiders, bring your stuff here.
Well, like you said, at least 2 days a month, the advertising...
Anybody could come.
Well, why don't we do this? That's a great suggestion. Mr. Higgins, so maybe we can charge a fee to anybody that doesn't live in the borough to take their, how do we administer your, you're making money on the scrap.
It's up to you. I mean, you know, there's always a way to do that kind of stuff, because once you've got a container in the yard, right?
Those babies get filled quick.
There's a lot of people around in our area who recycle metals, you know, as their business sort of thing. I guess Mr. Higgins' idea of just having it on certain days would alleviate this, but how, in other communities, how do they deal with theft out of it? You know, you said, yeah, somebody drop off a lot of copper. I know that's real valuable, and we hear all the time about copper being stolen out of new construction or abandoned houses.
We just got a stolen truck full of copper. But of course, there was a police all points bulletin out.
Yeah.
And we had the feeling they were coming to us, and they did. But the police, Bergen County Police, were waiting for them.
I mean, if you drop a container off here, and somebody comes in one night and decides, oh, look at all that iron, I'm going to take it, and they drop it off at a local scrapyard the next day.
Where I was the superintendent, there was an ordinance that was not legal. In other words, if you had a metal pickup day.
Yeah, well, speeding isn't illegal either. But,
pardon me?
Speeding is illegal also. But
I understand. However, if there's metal out at the curb, towns like Patterson and Passaic, I mean, they can't control it.
Right.
Even though there's an ordinance, but smaller towns can control it. You know, you put it out, it's not legal to take it if it's out at the curb for a town-sanctioned pickup. So they just are not supposed to do it. The police are there, they're around, or
so
somebody calls.
The same thing with your container. They're just not supposed to go out and get it.
Scott.
But it could happen.
I would like to suggest a good place, if we can just have a section of our DPW, you know, allocated that property there for a site for strictly this recycling, and call it the recycling center or whatever. This is where people would bring the stuff. Then, of course, somebody is always at our garage, so somebody can check it in and see if it's the correct materials to bring.
Right.
Well, otherwise. Well, so there
isn't always somebody at our garage, but I kind of like what Mr. Higgins was saying, is that we do it over a 2 or 3 day period sort of thing. You drop it off, and 3 days later you
get it. But it still can be at that location, and then at that time, allocate the hours.
I'm looking at it as providing a service to the residents here in the borough that's not going to cost us anything.
Right.
So if we break even with things that are thrown in there, and you know, you say, all right, you got $300 on this load, and that's what you charge us, I don't have a problem with that, because that's providing a service.
Because the $300—that's one of my questions. The $300 would—we don't have to worry about, since that's not in the budget or anything. We don't have to worry about that, because the $300 will come out of what we receive.
Come out of what scrap, right?
Right.
So, yeah, that's a service that's provided. What I'm interested in right now is, I would like, if you could forward a copy of an agreement, one of your standard agreements to the manager there, I would appreciate that. And you know, I gotta say, I like the idea.
But Dave, I think the council's supposed to decide, you know, where to pick this stuff up from.
I would like to see a copy of the
agreement. We're not making any decisions tonight.
It's a good idea. It's a great idea. I'm sold.
Right. Do you have a recycling coordinator?
No.
Yes, John Bird.
It's not really. You're right, but I was thinking of a recycling.
Well, who prepares your tonnage grant? That's always due in April.
I do.
You do?
Yes.
All of that tonnage counts.
Right.
I mean, as a credit to the town.
You supply us the report.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay.
I personally write all of my reports, and I send them to all of my customers. I'm a certified recycling professional from the state, too. I'm certified with that. Oh, I have all kinds of stuff.
The $300 charge, is that a two-way sort of thing or a one-way? Is it $300 to drop it off and pick it up?
$300, that's it.
Just,
it's not $600.
Yeah.
It's $300.
Just like one through a year to fill it, we'll still be either break even or make money.
Right.
It's really
it's covering our truck.
Well, I don't think it will either, but just, you know.
I just want to make sure it wasn't $300 each way.
Right. Yes.
Could I trouble you for a copy? Because that probably has the number that we,
thanks. Sure.
Right, because does it say the $300 in this?
No,
that's
not.
Oh, it doesn't?
Oh,
that's okay.
Well, you don't want
I already have it, but I thought maybe I had more recent information.
Yeah, okay.
I would also like an opportunity to see your agreement, but I would also like to have Natasha's input to see if we need to create a separate separate line item to put this money?
For the revenue?
Yeah, for the revenue.
This year it would be miscellaneous revenue, not anticipated. Next year it would have its own.
Okay.
And no cash is paid to any kind of government agency.
Right.
Right. You know, door trade guys come in with their trucks, they get paid cash. Any municipality, county, state, you get a check mailed to you. We don't want any of that cash trouble.
I got another question. If we separate out some of the things, like the stainless steel, we know some of the metals more valuable, say, non-ferrous, like you said, the copper. Do you price us according to that?
Sure.
Too, of course, so we get.
Break the, let me break the load down.
Yeah.
If there's aluminum in there.
Yeah.
Or stainless steel.
Right.
Or whatever. I mean, we have, we just did an entire refinery down off the turnpike in Linden, and they had all kinds of different metals. But we have a gun that we shoot, I don't know if you ever saw it. We just scrape off the outer covering of the metal, and we hold the gun to it, and on a screen it shows you exactly what that metal is.
Good.
So, yeah, it costs 30 grand. we have a couple of them.
Yeah.
But they're, in our business, that's vital.
Yeah.
I mean, I just took down 4 6-million-gallon fuel tanks over in Astoria, New York, that they no longer needed for fuel oil, and, you know, 3/4 inch, 50 feet high, 160 feet across. And we took those, and that was all mild steel. They were hoping it was stainless steel on the inside, but it wasn't. But, you know.
That's still a lot of weight.
Pardon me?
Still a lot of weight.
Oh, yeah. No, we had 3 weeks of 90 cubic yard trailers that we own that were in there getting loaded up and coming back. So, I mean, we have all kinds of things. You just couldn't believe it.
Just one more quick question. It's more for Christine. Given the dollar amount, though, even if you can, we don't have to worry about, like, awarding this contract. Do you have to go out to bid, you know, like, for other people? You know what I'm saying? Like,
recycling doesn't,
yes,
isn't bid on.
Just, no.
Not
and
the
and
subject to bid.
Amount of the contract is coming off of what,
coming,
we,
right.
What we would have made.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's unknown.
It's a good question. I think when he sends it to me, we'll have the Christine review it, but I don't think we need to
submit.
Okay. Not for this.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think recycling in any aspect is
not
subject to that.
Right.
Only from my own experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we should review, I would like to review the contract, though, before we.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I'll get an agreement. I'll send you a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can review it and do what you have to do. And whatever questions you have, you can call me. I'm not that hard to get hold of. You've got my card?
I do.
Mm-hmm. So my cell phone's right on there.
Okay.
All this information can be faxed back and forth, emailed or whatever. Like if we say, once we see the agreement, we go, okay, we like this agreement, and we decide where we want to put it, we just say, okay, we're going to sign off on this and bring your dumpster here.
Yeah. If you agree to it, it's not going to be a formalized contract that would need attorneys.
Right.
But it's going to be between the borough
and
Sinelli.
Right. It would require the council.
Yeah, we would.
Motion resolution.
And of course, yeah, after you get done with all of your, you know, your governmental side of it.
Right.
Okay.
It could be good. I was also a councilman for 6 years.
That's old.
So, I mean, you know.
Especially the big guy with the muscles, that's, you know, when he's at 8.
I can't imagine who that is, but
yeah.
When you say they're younger, everybody in the company is younger than me.
He actually grabbed me and said, "Do it, look at this." No, he
didn't. Thank you, sir.
Thank
okay.
you for your time.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
At this point, I'll open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimonies from guests, and Mr. McGuire is chomping at the bit.
I'm Rich McGuire. I'm here tonight for Washington Celebrates America with some of the volunteers. And we're here. It's our kind of our annual asking permission for the day. I think everybody got an agenda, itinerary, I guess maybe a
yes.
couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one part, and I guess there's another part to it.
Okay.
As far as the insurance is concerned.
Right. We have the Resolution 96-2012, which we'll deal with a little bit later, but... go ahead, tell.
Okay. In the past, the borough has provided the insurance for the day for the fireworks portion of the day. This year, we would like to include the Orange Crate Derby and the parade on our insurance rider that we provide to Washington Celebrates America. I have discussed this with our risk manager and also statewide insurance. There is no additional premium to place Washington Celebrates America as additional insured on our policy. They would have up to $2 million of coverage for each occurrence. And also, I have confirmed that general liability does not require a deductible. So what I'm looking for council to do is to consider adding this to the fireworks policy by vote so that we can provide this insurance to Washington Celebrates America.
And that's all in the resolution,
correct?
Can we
do that when we get to 96, yeah. Resolution 96?
I need a separate motion.
Oh, okay. I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstained.
Okay.
We're going to stay for the actual resolution?
If you want, or...
And you wanted, wanted a date also? You wanted, you said earlier you wanted the date set also?
The date, well, that's for the 4th of July. And well, let me, I kind of spelled that out a little differently. The qualifier is, I believe it's the Saturday before the 4th. 30th,
yeah.
And then the 4th itself.
We don't need any motions on that?
I just need you to adopt a resolution to approve the fireworks.
Okay.
All the permits and paperwork later.
Okay.
No, they got things. They just need to be named as additionally insured.
Oh, okay.
And which they are.
Which are.
Because you're providing insurance for fireworks, and the fireworks guy does that. That's what you have.
He does. We insure ourselves as well.
Yeah, it's going to be just additional.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you again.
Thanks, sir.
Mr. DeSanto?
Sure.
Yes. I know you're chomping at the bit also.
Thank you. I'm trying not to block the public's view. I apologize. Came armed with stems this time, I'm learning. This is a project reference map.
Dave DeSanto, Washington Hope, Homeowners Protecting Our Environment, 66 Cemetery Hill Road, Washington, New Jersey. Dear council members, we continue to work to preserve Washington's last significant open space, an area of high environmental value. We've asked for your support, and we need a decision tonight as to your status regarding becoming the applicant for Warren County open space funds that are available to us. It is important to note that becoming the applicant will not incur any cost to the borough. Any costs for appraisals, and in fact the vast majority of the administrative work that is being done to complete the application, will be taken care of by the Trust for Public Land. I've also spoken to Corey Tierney, the director of the county's Department of Land Preservation, as to how we fill out areas of the application that ask about balanced sources of funding, if they are unknown at this time. He explained that we should fill out the amount of funding we believe we could receive from these sources, but it is not a guarantee or commitment to funding in any way. This application is due to the county next Friday, June 15th, so time is of the essence. We should also discuss the borough's participation in a portion of the purchase price. As I've mentioned previously, we have an application for Green Acres Acquisition Grant pending. We're looking to gain county funds, and we've also met with the Washington Township Committee, who may have interest in participating in purchasing the property. They've also expressed that if they contribute funding, they may want to become a partial owner in the property. We've shared information with the council previously on the support we have for preserving this area. This includes support from State Senator Michael Daugherty, The New Jersey Highlands Coalition, whose executive director, Julia Summers, is here with us tonight. The Warren County Planning Department. Warren County Planning Department. The Washington Borough Planning Board. The Warren County the Washington Township Committee, the Washington Township Environmental Commission, the Musconecton Watershed Association, the Musconecton River Management Council, the Heritage Conservancy, as well as Borough, Township, and other neighboring residents, some of who are here tonight. Kathy Hake, the project manager from the Trust for Public Land, is also here tonight. She has been negotiating a price with the landowner's attorney. Kathy can answer most all of the council's questions, and she has access to TPL's conservation finance team that advises governments on conservation funding and helps to design, pass, and implement measures that dedicate new public funds for land conservation. They identify the right funding sources and amount and create measures aligned with public priorities to mobilize broad-based support. This can include feasibility research, public opinion surveys, measure design, program design, and evaluation. I've done some preliminary research and can tell you that an open space tax at a common rate of 2 cents per $100 of assessed value would raise almost $74,000 annually, and its impact on the average residential taxpayer in the borough would only be roughly $29 annually. Kathy can discuss the specifics with you. The resources are all here for you. They can answer any questions you have now or in the future. The market conditions seem right. The public wants to see this preserved. This is our chance to preserve something right in the center of our community. It's part of the natural beauty we enjoy. It's part of our natural resources, and we have a chance to participate in its protection now. Over time, this land will become even more valuable, and future generations of Washingtonians will thank us for taking this action. I'd like to thank the council for your time, to answer any questions you may have, and also turn it over to the professionals.
Should I just ask Kathy my question?
Sure. I'm sure she'd be willing to come on up and answer, but go ahead.
I was trying to also find other resources. And what about the New Jersey Conservation Foundation and Keep It Green or the Garden State Preservation Trust? Can we get money from any of those? Because they all say provide funding and
right.
stuff. But
they're all different organizations, very similar to the towers, to the Trust for Public Land. They all do transactions. They all have funding from, we all have chased after the same funding sources. Keep It Green is actually a coalition of nonprofit organizations that are working to get the State Green Acres program funding, re-energized and re-up. So they all are, interested in seeing properties preserved, but we do all kind of go after the same funding.
So there's no other state funds, we have our own county funds, and
there's,
then the
right.
Green Acres.
And there
That's
are
it?
Some, there are sometimes, sort of unusual funds, mitigation funds. If there's been pollution mitigated in Warren County, we could potentially get some mitigation funds, but it has to be from a local source. You're probably one of the lucky counties in New Jersey that don't have a lot of pollution issues that are mitigated.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. But there are when we have this project sort of solidified, we can start moving forward and looking for those other funds. But the three main funding sources for this project are state, county, and local, whether it's the borough or the township.
Right, so that leads to my next question. What was the amount that the township might be able to contribute?
Again, no one is committing funding at this moment. We have an application into Green Acres. We don't know how much that's going to be. I can tell you that the funding round that's developing right now is going to be smaller than usual, so you're probably not going to get as much as we would hope from Green Acres, but the Trust for Public Land has nonprofit grant awards from Green Acres mm-hmm. that we can put into it to, along with the Green Acre funds that we get through the application that was put to pro. So we can probably come up with the 25%. Basically what Green Acres will allow a municipality that does not have an open space tax, they will fund up to 25% of a purchase price or 25% of the fair market value of the property. So we can probably come up with 25% from the state funding. Then we have the county. The county typically funds about 40%. So we still have a gap there. We also don't know what the purchase price is going to be. I'm, you know, still talking to the landowners. I think you had the question, who are the landowners? It's actually two separate entities, and they are, there are six or seven partners in each entity. So it's a number of people, and that's why it's taking so long to get an answer from them, basically.
Going back to the grant that you need completed next week, and what you were mentioning, when you have to say the sources, and you have to, do you actually have to put the dollar amount? Like we,
they are asking for dollar amount.
So you would need an actual dollar amount from the borough.
We'll be estimating, and by putting that number on the application, I can understand it makes you feel uncomfortable. But
well, it's difficult because we can't talk numbers, and I don't think the public realizes how much money that you expect from the borough that
well,
we don't have.
The numbers
know?
That Jay provided is if you establish an open space tax or if you bond, that those dollars, what was it, $28 per year per average taxpayer?
I think he said $29
per
resident. Per resident.
So it will.
Now, what if we wanted to do, because I can't speak for the rest of council, but I don't see us being able to go out for that a dollar amount bond. So if we were to do, put it out on the referendum in the November election to see if the residents would be willing to have this open, how do you handle the grant next week if you're going to?
Again, we estimate it. We can do it.
And we have no, you know, nothing was budgeted for this year.
Right.
And that's certainly, oh, go ahead, Kathy, I'm sorry.
This is just something that I took out of a booklet that was produced several years ago by Anjack. And I did send this to Christine, and also I sent this, and Christine does have copies if anybody's interested in looking at it. But what I just handed out was basically just some basic information about how the open space tax works. I really think that that's your best option. You know, you ask the voters if they're willing to do it,
right.
And that would have to happen next November. So
right.
Obviously you wouldn't have your dollars assembled, you know, in time for the grant, but it's sort of a common practice. It is acceptable. There's no guarantee we're going to get that grant anyway.
Right.
You know, so we just move forward as if we're going to get it. That's basically, you know, sort of the same thing with the Green Acres dollars. We don't know how much Green Acres funding we're going to get. We just move forward on the assumption that we're going to get
it. So you apply for the grant, putting in the prospective dollar amounts, and you do not, even if you got the grant, you still don't have to accept the grant and continue with the project.
No, because
say the voters said no.
Exactly. Anything can happen. I mean, we can get an agreement with the landowner, assemble funding from all different sources, go out and do our environmental investigation, and you know, there's a a huge landfill out there that nobody knew about. That would kill the deal. Or, you know, there's any number of things. We, you know, go through all this and we find out that, you know, the title is bad. You know, somebody has holding a title. Things happen. You have to move forward with, you know, each step, assuming that everything's going to come together in the end. There's so many things that have to happen before we
If I may, you know, Mr. DeSanto, you mentioned about a 2-cent open space tax.
Correct.
Now, are we talking about doing that for, you know, 6-7 years, which is what it would be, or do we have to raise all of the money that you would be looking for in 1 year?
No, what that would do is a 2-cent open space tax would raise the, what was it, $74,000 per year, and you would use those funds to pay back any bonds that you used to acquire this property.
So we would still have to go out for bonds.
That's
right.
That initial dollar amount would be, have to come out
right
at closing.
And now the document that I just provided does talk about pay as you go. Basically, you accumulate your funds, and then when you have enough to buy something, you buy something, and then you accumulate. But obviously, that's not going to work in this particular situation.
Have you explored the possibility? And I'm totally for preserving a lot of this area. However, so don't get me wrong, have you considered purchasing only certain parcels of it?
We certainly could. We definitely could do that.
Okay. Because some of it, I think, can still be actually developed. There's certain areas that are on the outskirts, say, and are not near, you know, the residential area or the primary preservation area, as I understand it, so that, you know, I thought maybe that could be something that could be considered.
Cut down.
Yeah, and definitely cut down on costs, too.
Right. The, so, you know, there's a number of different ways you can do that. When we buy property, and I think the intention of the members here are to prevent the development. That's why we would want to buy the property.
Well, I understand that. But so, but I still think that there could be possibly some sort of a, you know, collaboration of the meeting of the minds, if you would, and, you know, some sort of negotiation where you preserve, you know, most of the property, and then you still leave some area that's open for development, because it's not going to affect that primary area.
That's definitely a possibility.
So, yeah. Now, how much acreage is in the township as opposed to the borough, the numbers?
It's all in the borough.
It's all borough.
It's all in the borough.
125 acres.
All 125. Okay. I want to make sure.
But it is on the, you know, it's on the boundary of the
right.
Two municipalities, and that's why the township is interested in being preserved.
And the key here, and everybody in this room understands what council's trying to work through right now with finances.
Right.
That's the elephant in the room, right?
We're just trying to get our heads above water here right now, and we're doing a pretty good job, I think, so far. It just scares me to hear open space tax and bonding for money, because that's not something right now I think we're comfortable
with. And it's
doing.
A very large, I don't think people
it
realize,
is.
It's
it
a
is.
Large amount.
It's not
$20,000.
And I'm all for preserving land. I mean, I think for younger generations or children, that's excellent, but it's just the money right now that has to be fronted.
And I think,
you know,
I think
it's very scary.
Agreed, and I think the key for tonight is that this is step one. Mm-hmm. Step one is, Warren County might be willing to give us money. The borough has no skin in the game by being the applicant whatsoever. Why not take that step?
Yeah, we can answer a lot of questions.
We can answer them.
We do, but you still have no skin in the game to that.
Right. You can step out of that at any time. You're not. I talked to Corey Tierney. It's not a guarantee. It's not a commitment. It's pie in the sky. This is what we'd like to do. We might have to put it to the voters. We might have to, you know, vote on it in November, but this is what we'd like to do.
And Washington Township,
Carl has no skin in the game.
And Washington Township is interested in seeing the property preserved, and so when,
but
you know...
But it's not their property.
It's not their property.
Okay, that's important.
But,
right.
Yeah,
it's
but they,
borough
but
property.
The borough can buy property
and
Washington.
And as a matter of fact, our planning board did go along with your plan, as I understand. And so, but, you know, maybe they...
But
like
they didn't know the dollar amount.
And they didn't know the dollar amount. So maybe, taking that into consideration, maybe you should present again with the possibility of only purchasing some of it, or, you know, and preserving
some. And the
county
could buy money for us, and then we can...
Yeah, and then we'll have money. So there's... It opens up another way to look at it.
Again, I think the best thing... I think the best thing to do is put it in front of the voters.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So what you would be looking for tonight is something from us agreeing to go forward with a referendum for an open space tax.
Did we talk about this in executive
session?
No.
To apply for the grants.
Apply for county funding.
Okay, that's all you're
really looking for. To be the applicant. That's really tonight's step.
Okay,
the open space tax is part two. The open space tax would be part two.
That would be a part two to discuss.
Gotcha.
And I can get my public finance guy here to talk to you. We can provide you with more information so you understand it. It is explained pretty well in this document. Christine has a full document. She can provide you guys with it. Some, you know, quite a few pages, but it gives you a very good idea of how it works, you know, what the benefits are and the downfalls. You know, it's money. It costs money.
And I know we've talked about, if they understood how much, if we put it up to the voters, they'll know what they're getting into.
Right.
And again, we're talking about a portion. We're talking about other organizations possibly giving borough money to help you preserve this. We understand the situation. The Trust for Public Land is a federal organization. They do this all day, every day, all the time.
We're a national organization.
You're not going
to... We're not associated with the federal government. We're national, but we're...
Any question you're going to have, they've already had.
I'm Julia Summers. I'm the Executive Director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Washington Hope is one of our member organizations. And I'm obviously here because we support this. I've got all the environmental reasons in my hand why we think this is a good idea. But I have a trustee who is the mayor of Chester Township. Chester Township has done more open space preservation as a percentage of their community. It's over 50% that they have actively preserved. And he said, it's all great and wonderful to go and talk to a community about why something is environmentally important to preserve, and, you know, that's important to me. But he says, Township committee members, that doesn't impress them. What matters are the dollars and cents. And the reason to preserve land is because it makes sense for you financially, dollars and cents. Number one, because 40 homes could be built on this, on this property. There are school costs. There are infrastructure costs. There are, you know, public support costs for your police department and your DPW, listening to the gentleman earlier talking about this. Chester Township has made money on purchasing land. They have bought it and preserved it and resold it. And he said the most important thing to tell you and share with you is to encourage you to see that it makes sense for you to preserve this land financially.
Yeah, I remember many years ago I heard that for every home that's built and every dollar of revenue that it brings in, you spend $1.30 in services for it.
That's correct. That's also from ANJAC, the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions, there is a great study called The Myth of the Ratables, mm-hmm. which exactly proves that. But boiling the myth of the ratables down to something like this, the towns with the highest ratables pay the highest property taxes. And it's proven over and over again. Property taxes from new homes bring you a very short-term infusion.
It's a short-term, good.
But it's very short-term. So, and that's why Chester Township, you know, they have one of the lowest property tax rates, certainly in Morris County, and I believe in the state. And they've done it through preserving open space. So it may be.
But they also can afford to, you know, pay for it.
I recognize you have all kinds of issues financially, but the other thing I wanted to tell you is, I come from a town that has done a lot of open space preservation, and the most recent project that we have done has worked with the Trust for Public Land. This was not a simple project. It was a $9 million project. Our town, which is a fairly comfortably off town, went, but, you know, they put it, they've made it happen in two phases, and, you know, it's a substantial piece of property. They have so much experience, you couldn't have better guidance and advice than working with the Trust for Public Land. So Kathy's a great guy to work with. So I just wanted to let you know we really support this project. And
Thank you. Mr. Higgins.
Okay. Listen, so we agreed to be the agent for the Green Acres application. I mean, the
Warren
County application of open space money. So we have to throw a number down there, and that number can be from one to the total cost of our whatever, 75% of the cost of their asking price. They review that, they say, okay, listen, we're going to give you the other 25%. So when we say, all right, well, look, we were only kidding. We don't have the 75% to put towards it. And so we can't accept your open space money. How does that affect us for future applications? For open space money, because we kind of, you know, tried to pull a smooth one on.
Well, I think we'll be very open with the county, first of all, and advise them that the borough is not 100% bought into the project.
But see, here's the problem I have with that. You know, we might say, I'm saying to you right now, and you're saying to me that we're not 100% bought into the this whole concept, or you know, financially supporting you. But once it goes on paper, we're telling them in paper that, listen, we're behind this, and this is what we're willing to do. And that's by a vote of the council here. And again, we don't have to take their money. What I'm looking at is how will that affect us in the future? Let's say we do it, and we say, all right, look, we can't afford what it is. I'm going to tell you straight up, right now, it's not going to happen, as far as I'm concerned, because we can't afford it. I think your idea is great. We can't spend that kind of money on that property when our infrastructure, our roads, are in such disrepair. And I understand your concern, and I sympathize with you, and I agree with you, but we haven't done a road project in years because we can't afford it. And we're going to go out and ask our taxpayers to say, give us a little more. It's not going to be in this tax, but it's going to be in this tax right here. It's not going to be to fix your roads. It's going to be to save the mountain. I'm just trying to simplify it.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the county and we say, look, we're really not committed to this project. but, you know, maybe sort of kind of dependent upon what you give us.
Well, what you say is that we're committed to the project, we're just not able to confirm our funding yet.
We're committed to the concept.
Right.
And can't you put out in the grant that it's based on voter approval or something like that?
Well, it would have to be. I mean, well, it wouldn't necessarily have to be. But it would, I mean, you know, things change. This council could go away and have a new council come in and completely change their mind before the project gets, you know, nears the end. The county will not be giving us, you know, a decision on the award until November. I mean, so there's a lot of time between now and then. Lots of things can happen between now and then before we just get the decision. And then after that, you know, there's other things that have to happen before the borough has to make a commitment. So I definitely understand your concern about putting that on paper and then moving forward and not feeling comfortable with it. You could be the applicant and not put money into it. I mean, the chances of us getting the grant are probably extremely slim.
Well, let me ask you, if we fill out this grant and you say other funding sources, so you would say something like 25% from Green Acres, assuming they're going to give 40% to county, so that's like leaves 35% up to the borough. Would you say, maybe would you say something like 20% borough, 15% the township? What are you going to put down for the township?
We haven't talked to them yet. We haven't,
okay.
You know, we...
So you're going to see them in the next week?
Well, we can...
Okay.
We'll talk to them and see if they are willing. I don't know if we can make it to a meeting before the application is, you know...
No, the meeting
due,
is next
week. We're going to put in the application that there are a variety of funders that we will work with.
Right. And so could you... So we don't have to say that remaining 35% is the borough. We could just say 10% for the borough.
We could do that.
And if I can go just a little bit to Mr. Higgins' point, is there ever a good time? Back in the 90s, during the boom years, I remember proposing an open space tax to purchase a bunch of properties. I believe this was one, but I'm not sure of it. It was not approved. For 15 years now, at least, this has been available. And if not now, when? Would be my biggest thing. You know, I think we should throw ourselves behind this completely. We should put the referendum up to the voters, which is part two of this. You know, and if the voters say no, you know, then the voters have spoken and we know where we are. But I think we should give the voters the opportunity to have the say on it, as opposed to our making the decision flat out.
So are you saying that tonight we're going to say go ahead with the application and we're going to say the borough is going to support you in this endeavor 10%?
I don't know about a percentage on it, but we're going
to
go.
Well, we need to decide
that
tonight.
Yeah, that's what I'm recommending that we do.
Yeah.
And again, the key point, Councilman Higgins, is I think you used the word, this is what we're willing to do. The wording really is, this is what we're hoping to do. And it's based on voter approval. It's a key difference.
I don't know how you would word that resolution.
The referendum, you mean?
No, the resolution. That this is step one, step two, and all that other stuff.
Does it have to be a resolution?
No.
It would have to be a resolution in support of us doing the application. We would have to take a vote here as a council to submit the application to the county.
Right,
but that's the only vote that we have to take.
But it's a vote. That doesn't have to be a resolution.
But on that, though, we have to know, is there going to be a dollar amount? Is there going to be a percentage? And what that's going to be.
Right. What we, a motion or a resolution at this point can be worded that the application will be submitted to Christine. She'll, you know, circulate it to the council members and everybody can agree to it. If there's something in the application that's objectionable, then we can change it.
Well, we won't be meeting again before your next day either, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Before it's due, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you need the motion tonight.
We do need a motion tonight that you agree to be the applicant for the county application.
Is there any other discussion? And I would accept a motion to be the applicant if there's going to be one.
Well, but are we deciding now what we're putting in there? A 10% or a dollar amount? What's she going to put in there? I'm not going to leave it up to her. She could put 100%.
She could put 100%.
Yeah, well,
not that you would. I'm just
right.
saying.
Yeah.
Someone here has to sign it, so.
Right. Yeah, I mean, is that what is necessary tonight?
We need, well,
to know the percentage.
I don't think
Because we don't know what the township's going to do.
We don't, right. There are many factors that we don't know right now. We can, I mean,
But if you want to get the grant from the county, you need the borough, a contribution from the borough.
Yes.
Okay.
If you want to go forward now.
Right.
Now, that doesn't preclude waiting until the next grant opportunity, which would be when?
From the county?
Yeah.
Next year.
A year, a whole year?
Right. We get now, the other interesting point is that you could say that you're committing to 10%, and that's what we put in the application. We go down the road and we can't come up with the funding. We come back to you and say, can you put in 15%? And you change then, that kind of thing. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or five.
or not.
We're working on it to go up that.
And again, I understand the councilman's point. What about if this doesn't work out now and we want to go back to them when it's a better time? You know, are we burning a bridge with them?
Right.
And
I don't think so.
It's not a commitment to a dollar amount. You know, if I were sitting in the seat, I might be thinking the same thing.
Yeah,
right. But for your purposes, to fill out this application, you need to.
We got one shot.
I'd like to make another point real quick, if I could. Once this becomes borough property, it comes off our tax rolls. So we're losing income there, too.
Right.
Sure. Do we know what we're collecting in taxes on
it's
that?
Very small. Most of it is farmland preserves. Under $5,000 the whole thing.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know, yeah, then you have the whole thing with the whole liability
Hold
thing,
up.
Too. I mean,
I have another
know.
Question. How can that be farmland preserved?
They have a woodland management
plan. Qualified farmland. It means we assess it as Farmland preserved is wrong. It's qualified farmland.
So we're losing money.
They file an application.
Who does?
The owner.
Explain to me how the side of a mountain with steep slopes and trees
tree
qualifies as
tree
harvesting.
Forest,
yeah. Which is the lowest value of tax income that the borough could get for.
The guy behind me does that with his property.
How many trees have been harvested?
Actually, there's a bunch. I can tell you that because I live next to it.
Well,
they're taking out Old Stone Road or
for the cemetery.
No. This property. They're taking out Old Stone Rows. We've been back there.
They are having some impact on what's back there right now.
The property is changing day by day.
Listen, I'm going to be completely
Wait, I missed
honest.
That. What are they doing?
You're asking for
They have a woodland management plan. So they're actively taking trees out of there. They're clearing areas. They're taking old stone rows that have been
and
there since before machinery and bulldozing them and moving them to the side.
And they're doing this, and it's not even their property.
It is their property.
Okay. Yeah.
But they
and they're allowed
some
to do
off
it.
Of their property.
Okay, I misunderstood. Thank you.
All right.
So the motion is going to be that something to the effect that we support this project, we're going to give a percentage financial support to this project, and contingent upon putting before the voters a open space tax in November. Something to that effect.
Yes.
That wasn't the motion. I'm not making the motion. All right.
I think that would be appropriate.
I don't agree with any new taxes. And I think it would be a waste of money to put it, to ask the residents of the borough to have that question put on the ballot.
I agree 100%.
Well, I'm going to make the motion.
Okay.
And I'll second it.
And the motion is?
And the motion is okay. Just what you said. But we're hoping, I'm going to put in 10%. You didn't give a percentage. I'm going to say 10% based on voter approval.
Potential free money.
Yep. And I'm okay with that. For the second.
It's not free money.
So the wording goes,
I understand we're not paying for it all.
We will be
the
application.
This is just to move forward with the application. Doesn't mean even if we got the grant, doesn't mean we're still
the application and mm-hmm. You included in there the referendum on the November ballot, correct?
No, that'll be
in November. Yeah. So a referendum question has to be formulated.
But not at the same time that this
motion.
Not tonight.
Okay,
right. Because
right,
that's going to have to be worded very carefully.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's worded carefully with $50.
There's examples in, mm-hmm. in this handbook. And also my conservation finance.
Yeah, we would work with you on the attorney.
Right.
Any other discussion? Let's do a roll call on this one.
Leva?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Barr?
No.
Jewell?
No.
Higgins?
No.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so then we won't have the borough on the application. there is the possibility that we could have Washington Township on the application. And how would the council feel about that?
Come back again then, that would be good.
Well, they can't come back again, we're not going to meet again.
Well, no, but not for, not for the county grant, but she said there's other funding possibilities.
No, for the county grant, she's saying next week they've...
I understand.
Oh, okay.
Right, I'm saying there might be, even if they miss out on this funding opportunity from the grant, from the county, there might be something else that comes along.
No, they're still applying next week, they're just not putting us down, they might put the township down, that's what she's saying.
That's what, well, you know, we're going to continue to try to move forward on this. If, I'm just curious if the borough will support an application from Washington Township to the county.
Do they have to?
Well, we won't have a choice, we don't have, we don't...
I don't know if you have to tell you the truth, I've never put a county, an application into Warren County, but sometimes they do ask the, you know, the municipality that the property is in, so, okay, well, we'll see.
The office.
Okay. All right, you be in touch.
Thank you.
I don't know if some members of the public have any comment.
Wow, that's a...
Mike Franks, 43 Nun Avenue, Washington Borough. I want to thank Washington Hope for all their efforts. I've been here before and following what your decisions are on this particular piece of property because the community I live on, in, abuts the property and it's very important to the real estate value of our area. We've seen some real bottom feeding and potential applicants and uses for that property, and none of which would do the local residents any good. A few things that I heard tonight, I just want to mention. The one thing was the mitigation funds that might be available should be discussed. We are, you know, sitting relative to a Superfund site, and I don't know if that's something that's been looked at or not, but there may be another potential source of resources there. Great to hear what I thought, that this does make dollars and cents for the borough. If you're not short-sighted. You talk about development, and every school child that goes in that development, I don't know what the actual dollars are these days, but when we discuss Baker Residential and the costs of putting those houses in there, they're talking $10,000 a year, I don't know, for a student. You just don't, and that's why I believe the figures, the dollars and cents, that it costs, you know, $1.30 for every dollar in rateable that you get back. Very believable. I'm a single homeowner, and I pay more taxes than that whole property, and that amazes me. So you got really nothing coming in there to preserve in the way of rateables. What they're doing out there right now to preserve their assessment, that woodland assessment, is they're literally cutting down the huge areas of trees and rolling them aside. I mean, there's no commercial value. I'm not even sure what's happening to those trees. And I think they're just doing that to keep this assessment, you know, and keep their property cheap. Meanwhile, this property, real estate-wise, its value is diminishing, you know, over, you know, more and more and more. I think now, if you're not short-sighted, it's the perfect time to invest in something. In 25 years, to have this property preserved for the residents here, that would be like a, you know, a diamond in a jewel box, as far as I'm concerned. I may not even be here to enjoy it, but I've seen that property for 25 years, and I know its inherent value, intrinsic value, what it does for the surrounding real estate. I think it is terribly short-sighted that you could, I mean, this is a non-binding application. Come on. Give the residents a chance to vote on it. How could you, it's unconscionable that you could suggest, I don't want to give the residents a chance to vote on it. What's the harm in that? they were the main points. That's about it. But I'd be happy to answer any questions about, you know, this particular property, having been a witness of its growth and its beauty for the last 26 years. And I am, you know, strongly support all of their efforts, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Frank.
I'd also like to come and say something.
Can you give your name and address for the record, please?
Sure. Jennifer Lamberti. I live at 96 McDonald Street in the borough. I've been a lifelong Washington member here. As you can see, I'm probably one of the youngest here tonight. I have been here 27 years. My parents bought property in Washington Township, the one at Asbury Anderson Road. Born and raised, went to college in the state, came back here. My husband and I, both graduates of Warren Hills, we decided to come back and buy a house in Washington. That's how much, you know, that we love it. And, you know, I've been taking all the conversation in, and some points made, I think, were very valid on both sides, you know, especially talking about the cost. I can tell you because I'm a taxpayer who bought a house a year ago. So taxes are very high in the borough. And I appreciate the council's job in really trying to make it manageable for us, because I know on a constant basis you're constantly probably getting pressure, right? Why are taxes so high? What are you giving us for the taxes? You want answers, answers, answers. But I can say that I will be here for another 25 years, and I was here 25 years ago. And I think the mayor made a really good point when he said, you know, this was an issue maybe 10, 15 years ago, and we may not have this opportunity again. And I plan on having children, and I want them to appreciate Warren County, specifically Washington. I chose to live here for a reason. And some of that has to do with the landscape, has to do with the people that we live around with. And I agree that this motion failing seems silly, because leave it up to the voters. If in November all the voters say, you know what, we don't want that $29 to go for it, that's fine. But I mean, I'm a high school teacher. I teach social studies, and to see that I teach students every day that their decision, you know, that their vote matters, and to know that I couldn't have a say in November is very disheartening. And I think that we really need to consider this motion again for that. So if you have any questions for me, please do, but I really do encourage you to consider this again, because I'm really passionate about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience? Doesn't necessarily have to be on the Washington Hill. Hearing none, I would accept the motion to close the audience portion.
I'll make the motion. Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that brings us to ordinances. Ordinance 4, 2012 for introduction.
So moved. Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Joel?
Yes.
Gillette?
Yes.
Kleba?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
An ordinance providing funding for recreation capital purposes for the Borough of Washington and appropriating $12,500 for such purpose.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion on it? Roll call on that, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Kleba?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes.
Song?
Yes.
Public hearing of Ordinance 4, 2012 will be July 3rd, 2012, and advertisement of the public hearing will start on June 14th, 2012.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call?
Higgins?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Okay, that brings us to Ordinance 5, 2012, for introduction.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? One more roll call.
Higgins?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
An ordinance granting an access easement to the Washington Community Solar, LLC, as a special bidder for the supply of renewable energy-based electricity to the borough's wastewater treatment plant and Department of Public Works garage.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Higgins?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Public hearing of Ordinance 5, 2012 will be July 3rd, 2012, and advertising of the public hearing will start event on June 14th, 2012.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? And a roll call.
Higgins?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, that takes us to reports.
Make a motion to receive and file all the reports.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on this one?
Yes, I just want to note that I've noticed the last few Washington Township Police Department reports we've got, a lot of the activities have gone down in the borough as opposed to the township has gotten higher. So just want to note that. As far as arrests, investigations, crashes, and some vehicle summonses, they have gone down in the borough. Actually, the township has gone up. So just to keep that in mind.
And I would just point out also that in cooperation with the Morris County prosecutor, the Warren County prosecutor, there was a large multi-county drug bust. It took a number of people from Washington Borough. I forget the number, but it was in excess of 10 people who were arrested on that.
As I understand it, there were a lot from other municipalities.
Yeah, there were.
It was actually on Channel 5.
At least 10 from the borough. I think 24 total. I read about it in the Asbury Park Press.
Yeah, well, it was on Channel 5 News, all news stations in New York. So in fact, our Sergeant Cicerelli, he was actually on TV.
Just saying that that may account for some of it. I know there was a lot of investigation involved in that.
So that's good. It's very positive.
Yes, absolutely. And it was in conjunction with some gangs. Any other comments?
I think it's important to know how small Oxford is, their count.
It is.
Maybe that's why they had a reduction.
Maybe that's why they got a good deal. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Sewer subcommittee?
Well, we were to have a report prepared for tonight. I spoke with Christine earlier. Andrew was still waiting for some more information. But we did meet. We met with Andrew. Kevin Shaw was there from the sewer plant. Kevin's regional manager was there. Patrick and I were there. We went through an agenda. We talked about the Pleasant Valley Dam. We talked about getting more inserts for the manhole covers, another 100. That last year cost us $4,500. We talked about updating the ordinance. And this is some of the stuff that Kevin and Andrew are working on, changing the ordinance, because we have, and if you ask me what chemicals that go through the sewer plant there, I don't know what I'm talking about. But Kevin is talking about adding more to the code.
As chemicals that are forbidden?
As acceptable levels.
Okay.
He said because there are more things coming from the different commercial properties that right now we don't have in place anything that says that they can't send this, but he anticipates that the state is going to set some type of requirement on the levels of these chemicals going into the sewer plant. So he wants to head it off. He wants to head it off before it even gets to that point, that we have something on the books that Andrew can say, we have these here, you can't do this. And to put that with the billing cycle for the commercial properties that have reserve capacity, because they seem to be the ones that are putting the stuff in there. We also talked about, and I don't know why we talked, well, we did talk about Beethoven Avenue and what had that had to do with the sewer. I know I talked to Christine. Christine said, we'll just let that dog lie. So we'll let that dog lie.
Any idea, like, when we'll see the resolution for that grant from, I think it's from the DEP, about, right? Isn't there a grant, Christine?
Pleasant Valley Mill Dam.
Yes. Will we be getting that resolution soon?
Here's what we have to. Here's what we talked about the dam. Now, Andrew broke that down into three phases. Remember, phase one was doing all the paperwork.
Yeah, we've
phase
done that.
Two was sending it to Trent or whatever. And phase three was actually the demolition or whatever,
right.
Taking it down. Now, there was a total, I believe, all three phases were somewhere in the neighborhood of about $30,000.
No, I think it's like $87,500 just for the demolition part, I think.
No, it was all told that, anyway, phase three alone is somewhere in the neighborhood of $35,000. So, you know, we have to decide what it is that we're going to do with that.
Right, and I think there's a grant. Aren't you going to apply to the grant to pay?
We also talked about, yeah, Andrew's project management fees. That $35,000 does not include that. He's still working on that. He was supposed, like I said, he was supposed to have the report here. We also talked about the pumping station at the end of
Gardner?
Yeah, Gardner's Court there, yeah. And we're waiting for some revised numbers based on the work that he said that the DPW could do, and then ordering the components directly from the manufacturer, having a contract to put them in. So he's going to revise those numbers. Now, along with revising the numbers, there were some also revisions that were talked about that weren't previously talked about. And that was adding, taking out some of the pipe that's pitched wrong, putting it in and making the pitch right on both sides, where it comes down Gardner's Court and then it comes out Cattell Court, I believe. Is it Cattell? That comes in like this, that feeds into there. So we were supposed to have that report.
Right. Well, is he going to get back to you about this grant? I hate to miss out on an opportunity if you can get the funding to cover it all.
Right. I agree with you.
We're waiting on Andrew for the grant information?
Well, listen, I have to be honest with you. I was late getting to the meeting because I had a doctor's appointment and...
Can you reach out to the engineer?
I will.
I'll follow up with
Andrew. Well, Dave, I got a question. Is this Gardner's Court part of this Pleasant Valley Dam project?
No.
It's separate,
no,
right?
Separate.
So, okay, that's what I thought.
We talked about it last year. We talked about a remedy for the houses there on Gardner's Court with the sewage back.
Right. Okay, that's what I thought. It's a separate issue.
Yeah, so, he's looking into the cost.
Did he say he would have the revised recommendations for the next meeting?
He said he would have them for this meeting.
Okay, so when he gives us those revised recommendations, they'll...
Right, that should be included, yes.
The entire cost of the project.
Correct. Based on if we go out to bid, if the DEP does some of it, if we have a general contractor that buys everything, or we buy components, so he's going to have it broken down into like three or four different areas.
Okay.
And he made the recommendation that we should move forward with another 100 inserts. Last year it was $4,500.
Any idea how many sewer caps we have in the borough, or if they give you a number at all?
Yeah, 600.
600, okay. How many have we done to date so far with the
I think he said what we've done, 250, somewhere thereabouts, but they said you can't do them all.
Yeah. They're only in vital spots.
Yeah,
that
can't do them all where it pulls the water and that increases our iodine.
It'll be strategically located in the areas that are in problem.
And, of course, Viola is doing the report today.
Okay. Any other committee reports?
Can I add to that?
Please.
Report? I did hear from Frank.
Magnifique.
I'm meeting with him on Wednesday, gathering materials from our office in Veolia to sit down and discuss the direction.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Of this audit of the Veolia Water will take. There's any specific concerns from council that I need to address with Mr. Magavini?
Listen, what is it, the headworks that we're doing?
Yeah.
That's can you have him look into that? Mm-hmm. That, that's a concern of mine.
He is reviewing a new contract, I know.
Okay.
Okay, any other reports?
Can I ask a question of that committee?
Sure, go ahead.
With the sewer committee, are we residents with the problem with the sewer? Are we going to have to wait until we take care of the substation, or are we separate for getting this repair done? That's been
It would be done at the same time.
And what's the projection?
Well, we're waiting on the engineer right now to provide the numbers.
But what's your projected time?
I mean,
you're looking at another year for this to be done?
It was put in this year's budget, so if we don't use it this year, we're out, so it better be done this year.
Okay.
they can start this year. And I think he said that it would be like a 65 to 90 day completion.
On the substation.
And the piping. Everything would be done at one time. So those pipes that go into the substation would be replaced, they would be put in or replaced at the same time the substation is put in.
Right, but our problem isn't the pipes going into the substation.
It is.
No, our problem is the pipes that the key leading into the home. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. Those pipes will be replaced to be put at the proper elevation, and the laterals that come out of the house will be placed where they're supposed to be at the top, not the bottom.
And then also during this project, then, will the roadway be finished off? As far as when they did this project, initially putting that substation in, they left us back there like we did it ran. We now have lined water, we have mud. We have nothing but a mess back there. Now, if they come and rip it up again, are they going to return this road back the way it should be?
Well, that's not a paved road all the way back from the cul-de-sac.
Where it was ripped up, it was paved, yes it was. And now it's not paved in that section where they ripped it up. Plus, we have patches everywhere where they've been digging around and rooting, which everyone is like this.
I can't answer that question for you, but I think that that would be a question for the engineer. When he goes out and does his survey.
Can you ask that question that in the project with, I mean, that's, besides getting backup of sewage into our homes, we also have to deal with the way the road conditions were left, and like we've had rain every day for the last 2 weeks, it's just sandy water there, which is now green, it's got mosquitoes in it, it turns to mud, it's just, and this is where people park, they drive, they have to walk through, it's in front of people's homes, it's just, it's nothing but a mess. And this has been 8 years now, so.
Understand. I'm sure, listen, I can't speak for the engineer, but I'm sure that everything's going to be put back to prevent any further problems.
I'm just asking, because we called that in the beginning and we're left with a mess.
All right, that brings us into new business.
I got it. Committee report.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Basically, just an update. That with the code book subcommittee, we still are waiting to hear from the attorney for the background ordinance language or whatever. So we'll come back to you with that. Also, I wanted to mention too that over the past 2 weeks, I was able to attend the New Jersey Redevelopment Authority, and I had some answers for council regarding. I don't know if you recall when Mr. Ray Rice came in and did his presentation to request he be designated as the redevelopment planner. So there was a question as to whether, you know, that was what we should do, whether it should only go before the planning board. Okay, well, I went down and I did learn quite a bit from this little seminar that they had. First of all, the council is always the redevelopment planner, okay? And there's ways that this is looked at by the state, okay? And it's redevelopment and rehab. There's two different ways that they look at the housing part of it. And Mr. Rice had proposed, well, he has a development that's ongoing right now, and he's proposing to be the redeveloper, per se, in this area where he purchased a parcel that's in number 6 lot marked in our redevelopment plan, which is Route 57, and it's right next to the St. Cloud where the PNC Bank building is, I believe. That property, from PNC Bank on over to Lincoln, excluding Studio 57, would be this redevelopment area. But in any event, the bottom line would be the steps that the council needs to do is to actually assign Mr. Rice as the redevelopment developer for that particular parcel of redevelopment. And then from there, he develops his plan and submits it to us as the council for approval. And then it goes from us and back to him to the planning board, and the planning board fine-tunes it with all the
you know, actual specs and everything else, and then it goes forward. So this way, the council still has say in, you know, actually what happens, and say, in his particular instance, his concern was these co-obligations that we have. And he wanted to transfer a couple of his obligations from one of his redevelopment sites, which is the Washington Square, which is, you know, at the other end of 57, to this one. And, you know, basically, we can do that. It's basically, the municipality itself is responsible, not the developer, for the co-obligations. And so they can be transferred if we want, as we want, and it is up to the council to decide. So we do have to basically make a decision, and so, you know, that's what I'm presenting tonight with that.
That was already done by the planning board, actually paid big-time money for a redevelopment plan.
No, I know that. Sure, of course. That's what we're referring to, Section 6 of that plan.
We're going to have Ray Rice be designated as the redevelopment
plan
of that area.
The master planner of that area, of Section 6 of that plan.
Why would we do that if we already have a plan for that area? Why would we appoint him?
He's not going to be putting forth another plan.
It's not a new plan.
It's going to be the redevelopment guy. You know,
he just said that he would come up with a plan that we would
approve. No, it's still his plan for that particular, to conform with our plan,
master plan.
Say, let's call it even though it's not a master plan, it's a development plan.
He would be the master developer.
The master developer of that particular, and he's going to take his project to that plan. So he's going to just bring the plan to us that says, yes, he did this, this conforms with the number of parking spaces, this conforms with the entrance and egress, and all that. So that's basically...
Why does he have to be designated anything? Why can't he just take his plan to the plan?
That's the rules. That's the way it works. That's the way the state does it.
You're telling me that the state is requiring him to be designated as a master planner?
No.
It's an option.
He can't develop that area.
That's an option.
Right,
but he can develop that area by bringing his plans to the planning board,
yes.
And if they're in conformance with the redevelopment.
If we allow him to do it, but what I'm saying is the council has to decide what it wants to do.
Oh, okay.
He can go through the process through the planning board and/or board of adjustment if he needs a variance for anything.
He'll have to go through them anyway.
But why would he have to go through the council then?
To get approval to make him the master developer. So this way, if he wants to move some of his co-obligations over there, he can. And then
absolutely
we'll know
not.
What he's going to do, too.
Absolutely not.
By doing this, it does make life a little easier for him.
Because he'll be transferring his co-obligations from over there where he's building that property right here.
But there are...
Right downtown.
No.
You can make the motion to do it.
Okay.
I don't agree with it.
Okay. I understand it. But okay. I don't think you understand... the whole process.
You're talking about him being able to move his co-obligation from one development that he's doing to another.
Well, that's a separate issue. That's
separate. I'm not for that.
He was here and explained everything, I think.
Yeah, I'm not for that.
Okay.
It's exactly what you said. He reciprocated exactly word for word what you said.
Okay.
What's the relevance of this to the committee anyway? This is part of your committee, you said?
There's an authority of the committee?
It's nothing to do with the subcommittee.
No, it has nothing to do with the
committee. Are we in committees right now?
No. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was part of the code book committee.
Okay,
no,
I
the code book committee.
Absolutely nothing to do.
What relevance does this have with the committee reports?
None.
Okay, so why are we talking about this right now?
I was just okay.
Fine.
I'm
just
curious. We can come back to it. That's fine.
Yeah,
did that come in on agenda statement?
I thought you were doing this in conjunction with the code book.
No,
I just wanted to bring the council up to date.
Okay.
That's basically what I was doing.
Then let's move on to new business. Resolution 92-2012, redemption of a tax certificate.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Leland?
Yes.
Kula?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. 93-2012, item of revenue, clean communities.
So moved.
Second.
I have a question. With the clean communities, does that have provisions, not only to buy the chemicals or whatever cleaning materials, but could you also possibly hire somebody to do cleaning? For some, like a part-time person, maybe you hire.
You can use it to offset salaries.
Okay.
But it has to be specifically for
cleaning the community, like
graffiti.
Sweeping.
Yeah, we've used it in the past for downtown
Right, litter removal.
Okay, now what about some of these properties we have in town that are vacant that, you know, they...
Now they use some grass cutting and things like that.
Okay, just curious.
Right.
Thank you. Dave?
I'm good. No.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Hagan?
Yes.
Leyva?
Yes.
Joel?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. 94-2012, approval of item of revenue, small, I'm sorry, COA commitment with the Warren County Housing Program.
You're right. Small cities grant for the...
All right, I went one ahead of myself. It is the item of revenue, small cities grant, I'm sorry.
Is there somewhere you could put in that resolution that you mentioned it's for ARC? Because I actually had to go back. If you didn't put it on the agenda, I was confused as to what that was for.
Okay, sure.
If you could just...
I'll add it.
Thanks.
So do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? A roll call.
Joel?
Yes.
Leyva?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Now the approval of the Warren County Housing Program Agreement, COA funds.
Well, is this the resolution, or you want us to approve this agreement, or...
Approving the agreement, that allows Warren County to expend its funds to rehabilitate housing within the borough of Washington that is substandard for COA use.
And it unfreezes the money that's sitting there. Because otherwise we'll lose it, I think, right?
We will lose it, because council understands what's going on with COA. Governor Christie will come in and take any money that we've put in our account.
Right, I just had a couple of questions, so I guess I'll wait for someone to make the motion, and then when it's in discussion, I'll ask my questions.
Okay.
So moved.
Thank you.
Okay, Mrs. Gleeson.
All right. Do we need to, we only have $14,000, so do we need to have like a not-to-exceed amount, or like how many, do we mention what, the form is blank?
No, this is just giving Warren County the authority to administrate it, correct?
Right, in that agreement, we've only given them $2,000 in administrative costs and $8,000 for rehab.
Right.
So we're only committing $10,000.
Only committing $10,000.
We are at this time. That's about what one rehab unit will cost.
All right, so that was my question. Like, so it's only going to be like one unit. Who decides what unit? Like, how do you
get... The county decides the unit. People in the borough, citizens in the borough can make applications to the county. They determine who receives the funds to do the rehab project.
All right, so that we're only committing to that. Now, so, wait, what does it say that one thing? Because it's on page two, method of payment. So it's in the very first paragraph, last sentence. The municipality shall pay the $2,000 administration fee plus the full estimated cost of construction upon, well, what if the construction is more than $8,000?
It says on page one not to exceed $8,000 per,
at
the bottom.
Doesn't say not to exceed.
It does. It says...
Up to the budget.
Up to the local budgeted amount of $8,000 for each rehabilitation project undertaken. Now, the question that I would have is, how many rehabilitation projects?
It's one.
It's only one.
Okay, well, that's what it says, up to
$8,000. That's what we have money for.
So it would be $10,000.
If it does exceed the Warren County Housing Program, we'll contribute funding for each project, so we don't...
That's correct.
That second paragraph after that. Yeah.
And then also on page three, part of it's the very top paragraph, it's part of number eight from the previous page. Why does it say the borough of Greenwich will be given written notice?
The county said it from another municipality.
What page is that on? Page three. The paragraph up there says the borough of Greenwich will be given written notice in the event that any third party. That's like 1, 2, 3, 4, like line five.
Yeah, I see.
Okay.
All right, so then they fill out that form.
Keep in mind, this still has to be approved by the freeholders as well. It goes to their meeting.
Right, then my other questions were, just out of curiosity, how is the funding determined? Like when you see how much Greenwich has, so Greenwich is potential to lose over $2 million in the next 2 weeks, or next 4 weeks. How is that, why are we only like $14,000? Or did we have $2 million and we've already spent that much?
No, we haven't spent any of our coal money. That's what we've collected from builders as part of their COA contribution since the inception of COA.
That's it, $14,000?
Well, that's what's left.
No. We have $30,000 in our COA fund. We stand to lose $14,000. That's what we
because
got
of the
in our 2008
account,
as of July.
Okay. I was just wondering why some towns have so much money from COA.
They have huge development.
Huge
I mean, you look at Greenwich.
But we didn't get much from that whole Ray Rice whole brother thing?
Not include Ray Rice's.
That's because this is old.
Okay. Then in the very last thing from that letter from that woman that, you know, that was notified back in February notifying us about this, does she do this for us?
No, she doesn't. It was a good letter full of information. That's why I included it.
Then can I get a copy of our spending plan? And was it approved by the... It has not been approved... Has our spending plan been approved by the NJDCA?
We're working to confirm that. I've spoken with Susan Grohl of Hiram Grohl. We need to confirm whether or not our spending plan has been approved. And actually, after we start moving forward with this... COA agreement with the county, we are going to look to lower our spending plan. It was estimated a bit high when it was done. When was this done? 2006? Maybe? 7?
That's it? I don't need a copy of that.
This is it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Wait for the new one to come in.
One page. I have them marked.
Oh, it's only one page? Oh, okay. Very good. It's just the one page. But well, I'll wait till it's revised.
Those are questions I still need to get from Susan. Did you read Dick's email? There are a lot of municipalities in that same position where they don't know if their spending plan was approved.
Okay.
So we're working that out.
That's all the questions I had. Thank you.
Any others? Can we do a roll call, please?
Yeah.
Okay, roll call, please.
Roll?
Yes.
Kagan?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thorpe?
Yes.
Kagan?
Yes.
Resolution 95-2012, to void and replace a check.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? Another roll call.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thorpe?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Kagan?
Yes.
Okay, 96-2012, granting permission for fireworks.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Can you do this one on voicemail? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Okay, vouchers.
Now, so we already did the one then for the home insurance?
Yes.
Okay.
Our vouchers.
Make a motion to pay the bill.
So moved. I mean, second. Okay. I'm paying attention here.
Any discussion on our vouchers?
Of course.
What do you have, Mr. Higgins?
Page 12, Snyder and Company. My recommendation is, based on the information that the acting manager provided us, that gets pulled from the bill list again until that man shows up.
Second. If you're making that motion, I'll second.
Well, we have a different motion.
You're
right. When it's presented.
So what, should I remove my motion? Or?
No, I think...
why don't you just vote no on that bill?
Okay. But I'm...
We can amend the motion.
No, that's all right. We can do that, and I'll vote no on that bill, and then I'll make them no. I want to take a vote on whether or not that's removed.
I'm going to remove my motion.
Okay, so now you can make your motion.
Okay. Who seconded?
I did.
Okay, and you're okay with the removal? Okay. Mr. Higgins?
What?
Now, you want to make a motion to remove that?
Yes, I do. Until Mr. Snyder or a representative of his company comes before this council.
I caution you to say representative because last time we were told, I think he had the most knowledge on the situation.
I understand what the email said. But I also understand, and how much of that email can I discuss?
I don't think we can discuss the entire thing.
Dates?
I don't understand.
November?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't here at the last meeting, so what I understand was that there was an opportunity to present questions and have those questions forwarded to Mr. Snyder or his corporation or whoever it is so that on July 19th, those questions would be addressed.
June 19th, I'm sorry.
That he would actually be here to have those questions addressed.
Well, she was going to invite him. We gave him a couple of weeks time for any residents to submit questions. Council did not have to submit the questions because they could have asked in person.
The citizens group, yeah.
And then the manager went back to see if they would be available to come on the 19th. And that's where it was left at. That was the response.
And that response we can say?
Sure.
Okay, that response, that request was denied. Based on...
I wouldn't use the word denied. The response was, unfortunately, he has a medical condition which requires treatment, and he's not sure how that will affect him through the month of June. He gave the option of responding to the questions in writing, a teleconference, or Skype,
or November 1st, right?
November 1st, when his treatments are over, or when he determines that he is well enough to come. I did ask if he would be willing to send a representative, and I was told that he has the most instant knowledge of the audit.
Okay. So I would make a motion then that we we pay our bills, pay the bills on the voucher with the exception of Snyder & Company's bill on page 12.
Is that the final bill or is there still one more to come?
No, I just received one more.
But that would be two.
That is the final one. There's still
two outstanding. If that's the motion, I second.
Okay. Mrs. Detlef, if you have a question.
Yeah, isn't there something in this contract or this agreement about paying within so many days?
Or the contract would be null and void, and yeah, they could back out, and at this point that's really a moot issue.
Or would us not paying him create any kind of legal problem for us? For them.
He could sue us for the remaining balance.
Right, right now we'd just be late. So if we decide,
I don't think there's any interest cost on late.
There's no interest cost on late, but we are, after today, we will be beyond the 30 days on this bill.
So he would have the right to bring legal action against us should we not pay it.
But he couldn't sue for anything more than what the vouchers are worth?
I don't believe so. Maybe cost of his attorneys or something, but. Maybe for the cost of his attorneys, I don't know. That would be a real legal question. The attorney could answer that, but it's possible, conceivable, that he might be able to recover attorney's fees also, should he sue. I don't know if that for a fact, but I know in some instances that is.
I kind of think we shouldn't put ourselves in harm's way.
Here's to the point that I'm trying to say, is that if he gets paid, then the desire for him to show up here to address
no.
what...
He has no desire to begin with.
but now he has an incentive.
But he still has no desire to get here.
That's true.
What you said.
Okay. You sure you have something?
Is there not a compromise that we could possibly do where his representative is here in person as well as him Skyping or on a teleconference? So if they can't answer the questions, he could. At least he would have a physical representative here to address those questions. And if maybe he's right there on the phone, he can't back out of that.
The only problem I see here is...
If the person shows up and refuses to take the call, it's not acceptable behavior. It's not.
You still do have one more bill. Like, I'm wondering if you don't pay this, because I'm, believe me, I want to agree. If we...
About 14.6, roughly. About 14,600, roughly, a little less.
For both.
That's
for both.
So if we pay this, it's like we're... If we don't pay it, do you think he's going to be more apt to not agree to sending the representative at all or answer the questions? He hasn't even answered the questions yet, right? So do you think by us playing such hardball, he's not even going to bother answering the questions or come in at all?
Well, my concern is that going to satisfy the public having a representative here and not himself? And I think we spoke
well,
about...
Well, if he's online, if he's...
I'm concerned about a concerned citizens group being upset with that as well as the residents that may be in more favor of having him here physically. then having a representative that might not have quite the knowledge.
But he wouldn't be here physically, but he'd be on the phone.
Right. Would that make the citizens and the concerned citizens group feel okay about that? That's what I'm concerned about. Well, I don't see Bob Del Alde here, the concerned citizens group head. I mean, there's someone here to represent him.
He's not him.
He's not the head.
Oh, he's not the head? Okay.
No.
Okay, who's the head now?
There is
none. There is
none,
okay.
Never.
That's my concern, because I hear all kinds of things about litigation against us from concerned citizens regarding this situation. I don't want it to go any further. I want to be able to make people feel at ease.
All right, that's a valid point, too.
I will withdraw my motion, since there's another one coming.
What do you mean? Oh, we don't know. Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, I'll do my motion anyway.
Yeah, he seconded it.
I believe Councilman Boyle, when he was here at the last meeting, asked what would satisfy the people, and I think that's what they had asked for him to be here himself. And if he can do a conference call, that'll satisfy him as well. I'm happy with that, but I want to make sure we're satisfied as well as the taxpayers.
I'd just like to then, if he's removing that motion, I'd just like to make a motion just to remove it for right now from our voucher list, period. That's the whole motion. No, nothing.
To be reconsidered at the next.
To be reconsidered at a future time.
Okay.
Period. So that's the motion. Is there a second on that?
There is no second. The motion dies. Okay. So what are we going to do with our vouchers then?
Everything is going to be in default.
I don't think that Mr. Schneider is philosophically opposed to answering the question. I believe that he will be available via telephone.
Provided his help allows.
Right. As long as that satisfies them, I'm
happy. Provided his help allows. You know, we may not be able to do it on a Tuesday.
It may not be Tuesday, June 19th.
Right.
It might be second week in July, but it is something he is willing to do.
Did you get questions? Did you get all the questions? Did you get any questions?
I did. Have you submitted the questions to him yet? I have. And his comment in that response was he wanted to do guys for conference. He received the questions after we had this conversation. But yes, he is willing to Skype teleconference or answer the questions hand written if we prefer.
You can always withhold the last cell, the very last cell.
Right, that's what I think. Maybe more on the line of that, perhaps in default beyond 30 days, because that could potentially cause problems.
It shouldn't get paid anything yet.
Is this contract net 30, net 60?
Net 30.
Without interest penalty. No interest
penalty.
Yeah.
No. There's nothing in the contract that says that.
That wouldn't default. What is the standard for municipality?
Is that 30 left to pay our
vouchers? Most of our vendors that we work with. It's usually net 30.
What do you recommend?
Oh, I don't have a recommendation. I recommend that, well, the wrong one, I'll tell you. I recommend that we ask him to be here via conference call. And I think that was a great idea.
No, I mean regarding paying this month's bill.
Well, I will tell you that we are in default contract, and then I'm afraid you won't show up.
That was what my thought.
So I would absolutely agree that
you still have one more bill you can hold.
Right, right. One more you can still hold. You know.
Okay. Is there a motion on the floor right
now?
There are none.
I make a motion. We pay our bills.
Second.
Okay. Brings us back to where we were. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Hagan?
No, and I have abstain on the fire department.
Leva?
Yes.
Joel?
Yes, and I abstain from the fire department and rescue squad, please.
Flores?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, that brings us up to our recap. What do we have on your list, Ms. Blanchard?
I'll reach out to Attorney Christine for a written opinion on the correspondence from Washington Township. I'll look for a contract from Spinelli to review regarding the metal. I will prospect the contract from Warren County. I'll make the additions to the small city grant resolution. I'll include the ARC information. And that's what I have to talk.
That brings us to council remarks.
Did you say the engineer about the,
oh,
the grant?
No,
she didn't.
That was the grant information.
Right, for the dam.
Something else? Please.
I'm sorry?
The street at the end of the
garden, yeah.
Yeah, we just heard put back the acceptable mail for the residents.
Council remarks. Mr. Torres?
No, not today.
Mrs. Lever?
Just a quick couple of things. You're probably going to say it, but I'll say that you had told everyone to vote on Facebook, so I just wanted to congratulate the high school students for getting the driver simulator. They won that contest.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Yep, GDL man was successful.
Power of the internet. So going along with the audit, I was just wondering, Christine, did we get a response from the attorney on was there any violation in our contract? Based on the fact that we felt we're missing revenue information, et cetera. Remember, we were going to...
Right, but he was at the meeting and discussed that with him.
He didn't ever say if we were in violation of the contract, that he reviewed the contract.
He suggested that we have our own auditor review the proposal.
So have we heard from Tom Ferry?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Will we have an executive session for that today,
only,
do you think?
Yes, if you would like to discuss that, it's a contract. We should discuss
okay.
that.
Okay. I would still like the attorney to review that contract.
Okay. That wasn't part of the resolution and the motion that was made at the last council meeting.
I thought, but that was a question. Remember, I had asked that. I had physically emailed him that question.
Right. He has, with that case, he has not responded. I think he feels that by doing this, it's...
No, I still want a counsel. I want legal counsel response.
Okay.
And then if you could... set up this meeting with the Schneider company. You know, get back to them that we are interested.
Is that how council wants to proceed, a representative and
him on conference?
Him on the telephone.
I'm comfortable with that.
Or Justin, did you want to wait another 2 weeks for the next meeting? How are you going to find out if that's sufficient for all the concerned citizens and residents?
That's what I mean. I don't know, and I'm wondering.
I don't want to keep holding this up.
Right. I don't either. Yeah, I don't either. I guess, you know, do the people in the audience feel that is fair? That he's not here, but he could do a conference call with the help of an aide. I mean,
that's a way to go forward, at least.
Rudy, Edna. I mean, I don't know how you guys all feel. I know you guys are part of that group.
Is it
Penny?
Going to be an open session where all residents can participate?
It would be a public meeting, right?
That's right.
It would be a public meeting, so I guess that would apply.
I guess you need to set up a format of that meeting where first he would answer the questions that were submitted and then have an open...
I guess he would run down the list.
Or is it going to be closed? Is he only going to address the questions that were submitted?
I think it would be wise to have him in writing... answer the questions first so
I
that everybody
so
has a chance to
see
look at the answer
right,
and
yeah.
could ask follow-up questions.
I agree.
Okay.
He should have a written answer
right.
first and then go from there. He can elaborate with the assistant and he can communicate with him. You know,
Councilmember Jewell, once
yes.
you pay him, do you think that he's going to participate in that call?
Well, we're paying this current bill. We have one more bill to pay yet. Don't forget. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. But, like I said, you pay him this one bill. Do you think that he's going to participate?
We're going to have to assume he will at this point.
We're showing our good faith? We're going to...
Correct.
That's what I mean. Wouldn't that be kind of like a violation? Well, we'll find out.
We can't go
move along then.
You know,
I still wanted to invite, you know, set that whole thing up.
Okay.
Do you have to give him a deadline to give us the written answers, or he's going to provide the written answers that night?
I would give him a deadline. I would give him the opportunity to review them and get back to me.
Okay.
Before the next council meeting.
Well, I can't guarantee that because it's...
Yeah, but we can request that, right?
I can request that.
At best, the beginning of July, I mean, that's...
I would feel more comfortable saying that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I...
At the next council meeting, July 3rd meeting, and then we can schedule a date and time for him. He was cautious in committing because he didn't know how he would feel, so that's what I'm conveying to him.
Right.
Okay, that's all I had, thank you.
Mr. Jewell, one question, Christine, can I get a list of, you can email from here or whatever, the properties we're currently taking care of that are being mowed by the DPW and whatever else extra they're taking care of other than, you know, their normal duties? Also, I'd like to thank the Washington Celebrates America Committee, again, for keeping the tradition in town. That's excellent. Fireworks, the parade, and the great derbies. And everybody have a good couple weeks here until the next meeting in June. That's it.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes. Speaking of the properties that Justin was talking about that we're taking care of, did we take care of the one on Prospect Street?
We did.
Okay, and the neighbor is satisfied?
He is. I've spoken to him.
All right. Let's see here. There is a couch that's been on the curb on Church Street for about a month. You know what I'm talking about? It is what the, that would be East Church Street.
No, no.
Right there as you get to, what is that, South?
School Street?
Pardon me? It's on West Church Street. It's on the left-hand side of the road.
Yeah, going towards, going towards Delta and Crowther's.
Oh, okay.
Now, the grass that's out in front of the place that that couch is sitting is knee-high or higher. That's another property. Are we taking care of that property?
We have
that. Is there a homeowner?
We've had a lot of problems
there
with that property.
As of right now, I don't know.
What's
it's a bank involved. I have to research it.
Okay.
I'll research that tomorrow.
But that couch has been there for about a month.
We'll have to tell you.
Thank you.
Right.
I appreciate that. I happened to drive through the park yesterday and seen that there was a backhoe and they were digging something up between the baby pool and the baby pool.
They discovered more leaks.
Amazing. Are they repaired? Are they repaired now?
We had one leak last week that was repaired. The one that near the baby pool, they're looking at repairing by the end of this week.
Okay. Are they going to be, I think they're opening next Friday? Are they going to be repaired by then?
That's what they tell me. I'm
not for nothing.
They are going to be repaired.
Listen, not for nothing. Back in January, I asked the question, do we have a leak at the pool? And we have a leak at the pool. I haven't mentioned it here at the council meeting because of the bill.
Oh, the water.
Oh, yeah. Because the water should be shut off at that time. But we found it. We're fixing it.
We are.
Great. Okay. I had a question here about our auditor. I didn't know that the council directed him to review the product that was put out by
Snyder.
Yes.
Yes.
Comparing it to the contract and his
opinion.
Letter proposal.
Okay, we're going to discuss that in executive session. Okay. Listen, I just want to make another comment about, you know, every time that we get pushed around by somebody, what I mean by we, the borough, you know, we've been denied the numbers from the township since November. We're being held hostage by the auditor, but yet we cave in every time. We're going to have to make a stand and say we're not going to put up with this. That's my personal opinion. And until we do that, it's going to continue to happen because the council members are going to be afraid of the repercussions. And we've gone over this a lot. Sooner or later, we're going to have to make a stand and say we're not going to do this. This is what you're going to do for us. We're paying you. And the sooner that day comes, the better off the borough is going to be. Now, I do have one question. I see Mr. Sanders is still here. Now, if we move forward with putting a referendum question on the ballot in November for an open space tax without going forward for saying what specifically that property, can we do that, and how would that affect their application? Can you answer?
Well, you
probably know better than me. I don't know how much other open space the borough has. What was the other part of your question?
Well, the application, they have...
The application, how would that affect your application to the county? You know, we're not, we would say, okay, listen, we'll put this on the ballot and let the voters decide whether or not they want to pay another tax, but not in conjunction with your application.
I don't think it bears any harm to the county application. We're going to try to go ahead and apply it anyway, so... And we have a deadline, we have to meet it next Friday, so... So we don't have any flexibility. I've heard that the county is not flexible in any way, shape, or form when it comes to open space funding.
I understand the comments about being allowed to vote, and you're right, I'd be picked off too if somebody said up here I wasn't allowed to vote for something. So I don't have a problem, after rethinking putting that on the ballot, but I still can't say that the borough is going to commit to the application process.
I'm not speaking for the voters, I'm speaking for myself.
I understand that.
I think the voters would appreciate the opportunity.
And I can see that. So do we need to bring that up for a vote? Again, to have a referendum placed on the ballot for an open space tax?
So we already voted, did that?
Well, we did, but...
We did.
Being the one more people who voted it down, he can bring it back up again.
And he's doing, my motion was in conjunction with us being on the grant application. This is not, we're not doing anything with that grant application. This is to put the question out to the voters.
I would make that motion.
I'll second. How does this affect the application?
That was my question.
It doesn't affect the application at all for county funding.
We can come in later.
You could come in later, certainly.
Okay.
I mean, but on the application, you can say that we have voted to put a open space referendum on the ballot in November.
And have the attorney worded appropriately?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, we have the motion and the second. Is there any discussion?
So now you're saying that you want them to mention something on the application?
No. What I'm saying is, they're filling out the application. They're not putting anything down that we're committing. All they're going to put down on the application is the borough has agreed in a previous meeting to put a referendum on the ballot for an open space tax in November. But we're not
right.
Committing to any percentage or any cost.
Your motion should probably put an amount on it, a 2 cent, 3 cent, whatever you would think.
Well, no, that would be, it would come later when we actually do the wording of the referendum and vote on it.
Yeah, what do you think?
And I just want to get on the record. I mean, we have a few folks here. We never asked the borough to commit to an amount or a percentage. And let me rephrase that. We never said that the borough would be committed to pay a percentage or an amount. It was just a wish list item of, if we can do something, this is what it would be.
I understand exactly what you're saying, but I still have that fear of putting something like that down on paper.
Understood.
And I got the impression, though, from Kathy that they needed an amount from us.
Yeah.
She even gave me a number, so...
That's right.
Well, if
she gave us a number in executive session.
Well, to Councilman's point, if you were going to be the applicant,
right.
I think that's where she was coming
from. Oh, okay, yeah.
I was to be the applicant, and at least not that we're going to try to participate.
Right, and she said you needed to put a number down.
Yes.
Okay.
And Ms. Blanchard, you believe
right, if we were the applicant. Now we're not the applicant. Who is the applicant?
We're going to be working our tail off over the next week to get one.
Okay.
Either another muni or...
Oh, right, either the township or either... Okay.
Right.
Okay, Ms. Blanchard, do you believe that we should have a cent amount for the referendum?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but do we need to decide? We're not deciding on the wording of the referendum right now.
No, we can decide the amount later, but
Okay.
That's definitely...
Yeah, that definitely has to be a part of it, but not part of this resolution.
Yeah, not part of this resolution.
Okay. All right, we have the motion and the second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Nay.
And two nays. 3-2. And any abstentions, of course.
I think some of the points that were made, the valid points, to allow the people to make, to include the people.
Okay, do you have anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No, sir, I do not.
Okay, Ms. Detlef, do you want to make a comment?
Yes, Schneider going to charge us for the bond thing?
He didn't say that he was.
For my council remarks, I'd like to congratulate the Warren Hills girls softball team. They not only made the conference champions, they made the sectional champions. Unfortunately, they were not successful in their efforts to get to the state championships, as they failed the other day, but I would like to congratulate them for a terrific season. Also, something else, you know, the end of this year is the end of the union contract, correct? So I guess we need to really consider getting into the bargaining table with them. Well, we should ask them, you know, what do you got? Let's get it together.
Well, we have.
And they haven't.
They're working on it. They have time to come to us.
Okay.
We don't ask them. They come to us.
Okay. And have we...
Because their contract expires.
It just stays stagnant. Nothing. We don't put the issue.
I understand. But do we have a date that we're thinking about having them, that they're thinking about giving us something?
No, they come to us when
okay.
they're ready to present.
Well, you said they're working on it.
They
so
are.
I thought
when they're ready to present to me, they will come to me. But I don't expect them to be there in July.
Okay. That's what I'm asking.
Okay.
Thank you. And Mr. Torres, you have one more thing you wanted to add?
No, I'd like to make a motion of going to executive session now after a 5-minute break. So that's it.
Sure. That would be Resolution 91-2012 for the purpose of contract negotiations.
Right. Exactly.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
After
discussion?
A 5-minute break?
Yeah, just that 5 minutes.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.